Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Okay, hi Diola, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Lola. How are you doing this morning?
I'm very fine, thank you. This is Real Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 FM Ibadan. And I'm so delighted this evening to be talking to one other than my good, very good friend, Elizabeth Adeola Oshodi. Yeah, I can see she's smiling already.
I am more delighted than you are. It's a great pleasure to be on your program, Lola. I've heard so much about it. It's a great honor.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I hope this evening, I mean, like I said in when I was writing up, I said I'm actually saving the best for the last, because on this topic, on this topic of my truth as a psychologist, what I try to do is apart from bringing about the change of mindset, I try to strive to bring about behavioral modification via media. And that is my main purpose, because you see, I've realized that a lot of things go on and people don't even understand what it is. They don't understand what people are going through. And I believe that with this medium, we can be able to like push more information out there to listeners so that they can actually learn one or two things. And on this episode of September, I've actually been able to look at something which people do not normally talk about, which is going through emotional wounds, because these are wounds that are not physical. Nobody can see it. You understand? It's only the bearer, whoever is going through that pain, that can understand what it is. And I've termed it, my truth. What I mean by my truth is, look, it is only the person going through it that can understand what it's all about. So without wasting
everyone. Yes.
Yeah. Without wasting so much time this evening, Diola, can you just tell us briefly, a little brief about yourself? I know you are a nurse, and I know that you are always busy. I know that you love to entertain. I can see that is in the family. That I can talk about very well. Entertainment is in the family, you know. And I know that you are a very free spirited person. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we go on.
Yes. Of course, you do know my name, Elizabeth. I'm a mother. I was a mother of two sons, I believe. And I have a surviving son. But through all the experiences that I've had, especially with the death of David, God has blessed me with a lot of other sons, his friends, my living son's friends, Daniel. And I just have this heart and passion for young men. You can't replace a lost son with a living. They both hold their own kinescope and, aura and atmosphere. But in order to heal and move forward, we have to take something from the environment that's comforting. It doesn't replace them, but it makes bearing the loss a lot more easier.
Yeah.
I'm a registered nurse. I'm a CVICU nurse, actually. I'm working full-time now, and I'm back in school full-time. I love to entertain, like you said, but my entertainment now is different. It's, like you said, towards healing and knowing that life is a gift, and actually being able to utilize the time that I have. It's a special gift from God himself to be able to manage that seriousness with the freeness that I've always been known for. I always tell people, happiness is a choice, but it's also a gift, the ability to be happy. Some people are just created that way. Now I can hear my father's voice saying, is that not the girl I just rebuked? Look at her laughing outside. Laughter is not the sign of happiness. Laughter oftentimes is a character to show acceptance of your situation. People that are happy can carry so much sadness in their heart, but that's not to say that everybody that is happy is pretending to be happy. So like you said, it's everybody's truth. And you can lie to everybody, but it's better to be honest to yourself, with yourself, within yourself. Or you'll find yourself tripping one day and doing something crazy. You have to keep the mind sane. The greatest gift we have on earth is sanity. Because if you lose that, God cannot use you and man cannot reach you. You'll just be as a saltless salt, tasteless and useless to everyone. So when we fight to keep our sanity, we're not doing it to please anybody. We're doing it so that we can make our lives count. If our lives don't count, we can't carry on the voices of those that we have lost. People will only listen to you when you command some form of respect and normalcy. You can't talk to people about someone you've lost from a bed tied down in madness. Nobody will listen but your doctors, and all they want to do is see where they can help you with medication and script. But for your voice to matter, you have to have a certain element of control and sound reasonable. So the struggle to keep a sane mind is a gift. The ability to be able to achieve that is a gift. The wisdom to identify when it's beginning to derail and you need help to keep it is a gift.
Gift. So Diola, before, I mean, I'm very sure my listeners are wondering, okay, you know, how did we get to this place? I mean, I know how we got to this place. You know how we got to this place. Can you just give us a brief summary of how did you get to this situation, especially with your son? Because I know that it was, I won't call it a tragedy anymore, because I like, not like you, I like to look at things from a positive point of view. I would actually call it a learning curve. You understand? It was a learning curve, because nobody prays for that to happen to anybody, you understand? But A, when it happens, we pick ourselves up and we ask ourselves some questions that only us can answer, you understand? And I know one of the questions, I know you must have asked yourself so many questions, you know, where did I go wrong? What happened, you know, and everything. So can you just give us a brief into, I know that life was taken.
I can do that, and I'm going to just make it brief and, you know, retrace my steps, actually. Okay. Coming from a broken home, growing up with my dad, I look just like my mom. I'm a miniature copy of my mom. I had my stress with my dad growing up. We've made up, and everything is fine. Then I got into marriage, and it wasn't what I was bargaining for. I think I'm one of those women that growing up all my life, if you ever asked what I wanted to be, all I could see myself being was a wife. I wanted a home so bad. I just wanted my own family, because that is something I never had. My father was a very, very tough person. And when the marriage between my dad and my mom broke up, my father made sure my mom didn't have access to us. I remember when I was like 13 or 14, the first time I ran away from home, and I just popped to see my mom. She couldn't believe it. She was holding a pot of stew and she dropped it. I've always been one advocating for my mom and wanting to be close to her. And I'm going to use this opportunity to tell all the married couples, no matter what happens between you as a couple, you have no right to mess up the minds of your children. You don't love your children more than each other. If the woman or the man is a danger, that's a different thing. But just denying your children the access to the other parent is mean. And that was possible in Nigeria, because it is the man with the money that calls the shot. And all the cultural nonsense that surrounds that. Now, I actually, I'm telling you, with the kind of love I experienced for my husband, would have stayed there with all that he was pushing down my throat and giving me, and the rules of, you know, somebody that meets you where you are in shorts and topless, now suddenly saying he wants you to go to deeper life. You burn your leases, you burn your gold, you burn that, and that still wasn't enough because he would oftentimes go out and do what he felt he had to do as a man with other girls, and I couldn't take that. I left my marriage because of the stifling rules, and I knew my children wouldn't survive. The kind of children that would be produced in that circumstances wasn't what I envisioned for my children to be. Remember, this is the dream and vision of a home I've always wanted. Other people wanted to be astronauts and lawyers and doctors. I just wanted to be a wife. So for me to now suddenly have to realize that it wasn't turning out the way I had hoped, I left everything. And all I wanted to do was, okay, now I've been a wife without the right tools. I didn't have my own financial status. I had to depend on the man for everything. I hated having to ask him to give me pocket money so I could buy menstruation pads. And I needed a new bra. And he would ask his friends to come home who were traveling abroad to come measure my waist so they could get the size of my underpants. It was so degrading and demeaning. I couldn't take it. So I said, okay, one day the bills were due for the rent. And I said I needed to pay the rent. He gave it to me. And I just went straight to Gani Fawa in his office and asked them to get me a divorce from him. He got a Meketi Aba. I got Gani Fawa in me. We went about. We had a business together. I got my little settlement. And I ended up here. So coming here to America, I just wanted my children. I remember that I got here in 1996, and he wouldn't let me talk to my kids until I could see them in 2002, 2003. Every time I called them since 1996, they would tell me what you have to say to them. I'll tell them for you. He made my life so miserable. I could see a chicken with its cheeks walking around, and I would just start crying. All I did before I got my kids was cry. I left David and Daria when they were 7 and 3. And I was only able to bring them, to steal them here to the United States when they were 16 and 19. They didn't come with anything. They came just with the shirt on their backs. I did everything from when they got here. And, you know, part of that pain that I felt was that I felt robbed. I felt it wasn't fair, especially when it wasn't any fault of David. David was dating a Nigerian girl who had a Black American friend, was getting ready to go home to see his dad. And he started buying stuff, but unknowing to him, the girlfriend's best friend was listening to that conversation. She went ahead and she planned with 4 Black American boys, and they followed him around for 5 days. And all of that time, he was coming to my house, Lola. You know, I would just see him. God was speaking to me, but I wasn't sensitive enough, because I remember that after about a week to that time, I would just like call him from work and call David, and David never wanted to hear anything wrong about Daniel. Or, you know, if I wanted to get David's attention, because he was 24, he had moved away from home and working and all that, all I needed to do was, David, if you don't come and take your brother, as you see, David will arrive, bam. I remember that day, he was just leaning on the door. He was watching me go back and forth, back and forth. Suddenly, he just said, terrorist, what has my brother done to you again? And we were talking, and I started complaining about business things, Lola. Well, Daniel didn't wash the plates. Daniel didn't wash this. Daniel was letting Bam Bam the dog run around. Daniel, he just held my hand. He said, Mom, is that it? Okay, let's go to Daniel. We got to Daniel. Then he said, Daniel, Mom is so upset with you. Daniel is like, what's your business? You don't live in this house anymore now. What are you doing here? So he said, Mommy, you go up. My brother and I will sort it out. And that day, David said to Daniel, this is my mother. I don't care what you do. You must make sure that my mother is all right. It was like a message. Daniel said that at the funeral. We just didn't know what happened. So this girl called 4 Black American boys, and then she goes to the door and rings the bell. And David thought she was coming with his girlfriend. When he opened the door, the boys rushed him and hit him over the head with a dumbbell and crushed his skull. Mm. And they robbed him. And, you know, for the next 7-8 months, we were just so paranoid. We knew that there's nobody that would know our family that would do that. Daniel tore the house upside down, saying, is David into something we don't know about? Did David take something from somebody? Could it have been? And this girl, Lola, the most painful part was at the funeral. This girl that killed my son. And when they eventually caught, because what happened was 9 months later, one of the boys went to rob with another gang and started talking, giving the police information about the murder of David to get lesser time. That was how the case busted. Only to mention that it was David's girlfriend's best friend and that she actually used her hands to strangle my son until the life came out of him. And to think that girl was sitting by me at David's funeral, that was so traumatic. So now, I was at work when my sister called me and said she had a problem with her landlord and all that. And I know my sister is like me. We try to avoid trouble. But then my unit manager walked up to me. I was working at Select then. And my unit manager walked up to me and said, your sister needs you. You got to go home. You know, there was an alarm going off. Something must be wrong. But you know, nobody looked like anything was wrong. I went home. On the way home, somebody calls me and says, Elizabeth, is it your son that died? I'm like, is this woman crazy? That is how crazy our people can be. A lot of these women are grown women, but they are so impulsive. Even if you heard that my son died, should you have called me? It's a blessing that my sister and I live in the same city, right? And we know the same people. So why not call my sister or find out to see me? You now call me where I was driving. So I just dismissed it. Like, this woman is out of her senses. I started rebuking, Lord, it will not be my son. As soon as I made the corner turning to my sister's house, I saw a lot of cars. I remember what the lady asked me. Now I'm starting to have goosebumps, right?
Exactly.
I walk into the living room and I saw people and everybody just turned to look at me and I saw Daniel. Daniel just started saying, Mommy, it's okay. We know you love us. Mommy, David knows you love him. Lola, I blanked. I didn't know what else was happening. The only thing I could do, I just started singing a song we used to sing in our soul. It's like, when I'm feeling down and happy, when I'm feeling blue, when I'm alone, I'm feeling lonely. I just started singing. All I could do was sing. Of David gave me so much pain. And he still does. But I keep my sanity because I know that nobody can give me an answer to why he was taken from me. I never saw it, Lola. You call it a learning curve. No, it's my reality.
Yeah.
I had to learn to forgive people because I expected so much from so many. But I am realistic enough to know that everybody is uncomfortable with the death of a son. And they oftentimes think that the thing is like infectious. Some people see you, the way they greet you is different. The ignorance of expecting you not to talk about the death of your son, to just wipe it away because he died. That was my son. He was here for 24 years. I loved him. I catered to him the same way they are catering to their living children. That was my son. I had to find the strength not to deny that he ever walked this earth. I had to find the strength to carry his visions and his dreams for his brother and I together with what I live and what he lives. We joke in the house about David. If I look for my shoe and I can't find it, my son will laugh. And maybe David took it. We'll laugh about it. He's part of a family. He is not dead and gone. He is dead but remembered. Mm-hmm. And I have learned to forgive a lot of people. Like when they come out, don't worry, I will check up on you. We do this. I don't owe it, you know, to anybody to explain why I love my son so much. And I'm not holding their lack of presence against them. Because see, Lola, what people fail to forget is that maybe because people spit out children like bugs. So they don't know. I only have two. I cherish that. I remember going to Household of God with Sister Lola Alder, laying hands on my stomach, fasting and praying. I had about 4 miscarriages before I had David. They had to do Cherokee stitches for me at Sunrise Hospital with Dr. Bala Olashebikon. I loved my son. I still love him now. Now, the hardest part of his death was having to sit down. So when they say somebody died, people think it's just the absence of their presence. It goes deeper than that. For a mother, I remembered when I carried him. I remember when I birthed him. I remember when I was sick with him. And then you have to go through the process of how he died. Somebody hit him over the head, cracked his skull, left him lying there for hours. Now you have to think what was going on through his mind. Yeah. I know David knew I wouldn't have been able to live without him. So he would have been thinking about his brother. He was a defender of my family. He was a confidant and my friend. So he knew the pain we were going through, so it was our turn to know the pain he was going through, lying there without help and the torture. And then he got buried outside in this sand, open. And every time it rains, see tomorrow, I say some special prayers. Everything takes on a new meaning. The rain does not just be the rain anymore. Now you stop yourself from imagining how his body is decaying. And look, it's a process. It's a raw kind of pain that I welcomed. I wasn't going to dodge from it. It didn't work for almost 9 months. My finances went to hell. I have to put my retirement to bury my son. It's a whole lot. But the beauty of it is, it's a whole lot that I know that no man could have handled for me. It's a whole lot that I know that only God could see me through. When I bring him up with my mom, let that go. That is in the past. We will not see that again. When I bring it up with my sister, sometimes she's able to, but nobody can do that for you. That's the journey. The only person that doesn't shut me down stylishly is Daniel, because we feel the same attachment for him. But people are uncomfortable with you talking about him. Before you start the sentence, they finish it for you. So you just have to learn to run into the bathroom when you are overwhelmed and cry and wipe your eyes and come out and continue again. The secret is you cannot finish that morning in one place at one time. You have to learn to break it up into pieces or it's going to destroy you.
Look, I still do empty. I've been like, Okay, this is my program. I think this is the first time, and I'm going to be very honest with you. This is the first time I'm actually breaking on the other side. I'm trying to put my professionalism on the bench right now, and I'm talking to you like a mother. This is heartbreaking. This is not anything like I always say, you wish upon your enemy, especially when you know the situation. I feel you. I feel you. I know the bond that is there between a mother and a child, especially a child that was looked for. So I feel you. I can see the pain. I know what that kind of pain is. But you see, I want to ask you something, and I know that that is one thing many people want to ask. Okay? Now, this happened in America. Okay? America is supposed to be on top of the game when it comes to so many things. You know, like if it happened in some other, in let us say if it happened in Nigeria, for example, we will say things like, oh, is it should be Nigeria. They swept it under the carpet, okay? But this is America. What was done?
Lala, the truth of the matter is, it's a global universe.
I know.
When people would ask me, you're Nigerian, you live in America, I say yes. I used to boldly be able to say proudly that it is the judicial system that make all the difference. But what we don't want to understand right now is that we are so polarized in everything, and the system in the world is breaking down. The only places where you seem to have structure is those places where you have the authoritarian governmental kind of ruling, where they can tell you stay home, everybody stays home. But when you come to the democratic institutions and countries, everything is breaking down. First, when this culprit was accosted, right? Actually, you know what, Lala? She had jumped bail. Her name is Shakia Cruz. I can mention it because it's on the internet and it's all over the place. Her name is Shakia Cruz. February 2020, she killed another person. She shot a young man in broad daylight. She was in the car where she was hiding as a fugitive from the law enforcement officers looking for her on the death of my son. Then she was hiding with this guy that she had gone to the mall with his friend. And instead, all he heard was a gunshot. But he couldn't do anything knowing how dangerous she was. She was 21 when she killed my son. Right now, she's 27. So they get home together, and while she was sleeping, he called the police and they arrested her. So she's in
Sorry,
Harris
sorry.
County Jail.
How old was she when your son's incident happened?
21.
Wow.
She was 21. Yeah, now she's 27, right? So she's in Harris County Jail right now, waiting, accused of two capital murders
Wow.
at 27. So I used to like calling every time they have a court date. I will call in, I will do that, and you'll show up. I'll call the detectives in the morning, bother the investigators at night. 7 years, Lola, I have not seen the inside of a court. Every time I sat down, they postponed the case. Every time I sat down, they postponed the case. Then one day I said to myself, even if they killed 200 of the people that killed my son, it could not replace it. If it's
Exactly.
possible to avoid danger, it is always better, because you know what? Justice is a joke. If they killed the people that killed my son, it wouldn't add money to me. It won't wake David up. Okay, maybe it will prevent him or them, the group, from doing it to other people, which is what I hope would happen. But it doesn't do anything for me that's already a victim in all of this. And remember, I have a son. So even 2 years later, when people tell me, oh, there's a party here, come here, and I tell them, I'm sorry, but I don't feel like I should. I don't want to. I don't feel like celebrating. Not that I was depressed, but I just didn't want to celebrate. You know why? Because Daniel is still living. And if that is how cheap of love that I have for my son, I'm already jumping all over the city. I guess if I was Daniel, I would, and that is what made me heal and him, we got together like that. If I was Daniel, I would be thinking, so David is dead now. This woman is just acting like it was a pair of shoes that she lost. You know, you put yourself in those situations, and David had a dog, Bam Bam, that he brought home when Bam Bam was 2 weeks old. That actually was also a healing point for Daniel and I. Because if we didn't have Bam Bam, knowing it was David's dog, I probably would be in my room locked up. He would be in his room locked up. But we used to meet as Bam Bam eating. We started breaking the ice like that. And till tomorrow, I used to feel so comfortable just crying in my closet, thinking Daniel would not hear me. But he will come in and say, Mom, it's okay. Mom, I got you. And he still has his bouts of depression intermittently. Most, and if not all of his friends are people that used to know David. We just decided to make our world, closest world, so small, but we're big people. We reach out. We do things. I write. He sings. We are very accommodating people. But yeah. I'm telling you, nothing, no man could have done that for us. It took for us to go through the raw pain and realize that death was final. The Bible says it's given unto man to die but once, and after that judgment. There's really nothing we can do further now than try to just, you know, do things right. I still feel guilty. Like if I do something, I say, no, I can't do that because I in the heart of my heart, even though I know that God says it's given unto man to die but once, I want to do things right just in case that counts towards the mercies that God will show my son. So it's those kind of things that you have to deal with. You know, and no man can break that. No man can touch there. No man can do that for me. I had to sit down and get to know me and get to know the pain. But one thing I'm telling you, Lola, and I'm still saying that right now, God will have to tell me when we see face to face why he thought I needed to do that. I know people say God is good all the time. I'm a radical. No, even God himself does not tell you that he's good all the time. Now, there's nothing you can do about it if you think he's good or bad. He's God. But yeah. You cannot turn to God's hands and mouth for me. I know what I know. You know what you know and be responsible for it. But he says, come, let us talk. God invites to talk and people tell you cannot talk. He's the God that you cannot question. No, he does not say you cannot question him. It's just that if he does not answer you, you have to learn to accept it because it's God. But when you go around asking, why did this happen to me? Who should it have happened to? Who deserves to lose a child?
Exactly. We're supposed to go on a music break, but I think the studio is off right now. But I mean, we'll continue to... Okay, good. So let's quickly go on a music break, and when we come back, we'll take the second part and we'll take some questions quickly. So Diola, just hold on. We'll go on a quick music break. Diola, do you have any particular music you want to listen to? It has to be Nigerian anyway.
Well, if you have Blessings, that was the first album, Bills. His name is Bills, B-I-L-S. Sang. It's called Blessings.
Okay, thank you. That's your nephew, right?
No, that's my son.
Okay, wait.
That was the first thing he sang when he first, when we lost his brother. That was the everything our blessing. Uh-huh.
Oh. You know, I used to think Bills was your nephew.
No, Bills is my son.
Oh, bless you, bless you. I don't know why I always thought it was your nephew. That's why I never actually reached out. Oh, that's so nice. Okay, so let's start from doing that. I too should actually look it up and read it.
Yeah,
is it back in Nigeria now? Or is it in the States?
No, he finished his tour. He's back here. He was only there for like two.
Okay,
you got it. Okay.
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 Luxury beats.
Wait, what did you mean? I'll put your neck in that motherfucking spleen. Yeah, hey, I am the best. I speak to you, you will be the blessed. Yeah, hey, don't act impressed. I'll put a blade in your motherfucking chest. Yeah, hey, fucking your daughter as a focus. Hey, you should just feel like hocus pocus. Hey, fucking until she got blisters. Hey, might as well fucking your sister. Hey, I'll make a pussy glister. Hey, my dick is acting like a twister. Hey, yeah. The sun brings heat and it just won't snow. Loose like an egg on my neck won't go. I'm gaining cash, we just can't grow. Please don't test me, y'all. Please don't.
I might see you in a bridge or in two.
Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Progressing, my brother, I keep progressing. You see this life, the lesson. Everything, a blessing.
Some people, they say like they want make I fall down. Some people, they will make I fail. Oh. This life, if they go up, sometimes if they go down. So what? Counting my blessings every day, oh. My brother, show me the man that is bigger than God, oh. I'll show you a fool that is ready to die. Show me the problem that's bigger than God, oh. That's why I never try to question him why. Because I know say everything a blessing.
Everything a blessing. For nothing. Nothing goes for nothing. Progressing. My brother, I keep progressing. You see this life, my lesson. Everything a blessing. Blessing. Everything a blessing. For nothing. Nothing goes for nothing. Progressing. My brother, I keep progressing. You see this life, my lesson. Everything a blessing.
You want blue abi? You want balabu? Want pagani abi? You be your basabi? People they hustle, you want sleep abi? You they gossip abi? Say not only money, you they worship abi? You don't tire abi? Say you don't want to live, then you won't die abi? My brother, make you they stop your vexing. My sister, make you they stop your stressing. My people, make you they count to your blessing. I don't let you see this life not lesson. Everything not blessing.
Wake up every day, no food on my plate, but still on my knees and I'm thanking Jehovah for seeing.
dreams will be great. It's boys in my head though, the head though. But the head motivate me to buy a Ferrari, Ferrari, Mama, I promise I'll buy Maserati, Maserati, gone. Blessing, everything a blessing. For nothing, nothing goes for nothing. Progressing, my brother, I keep progressing. You see this life, no lesson. Everything a blessing. Blessing, everything a blessing. For nothing, nothing goes for nothing. Progressing, my brother, I keep progressing. You see this life, no lesson. Everything a blessing.
Yes, yes, yes. This is still Real Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 Ibadan. And I'm still talking with my very good friend, my sister, Elizabeth Adeola Oshodi. And it's been, I would call it a little bit of an emotional roller coaster. I didn't even believe I would react that way myself. But I think sometimes, life throws things at you. So, Viola, we're talking about
Real Talk with Lola. So, realness will bring that out. We're being real now.
Yes, yeah. And I really appreciate your being very real with me, because, like I said to you, as a professional psychologist, one of my dreams is being able to bring about behavioral modification, and I'm happy. Yes. That you are a professional yourself, you are a nurse. And one of the things you've said, which I'm very happy about, is the fact that, you know, people generally want to dictate. I mean, you want to beat me and you want to tell me how to cry. It doesn't work that way.
No.
It doesn't work that way. And I'm very happy.
It doesn't.
People expect you to, like, you know, it says
after this. They have a timeline of how much they want you to be able to feel pain. Mm-hmm. You know, it was even like that with my ex, David's father. He said things to me like, once you've seen me, you've seen David. Hello?
Excuse
You're
me.
Not my son. You know, yeah. When you bring it up, let that go. You see, don't open up old wounds. You know, somebody will say, David's mom, they say, oh, I'm sorry, Daniel's mom. I said, what are you sorry for? David is still my son. I used the present tense for him. Didn't I birth him like you birth your living one? Didn't I feel pain for him? Can somebody please magically take away the stretch marks? No. I
Sorry, didn't they even tell you something like, I know they did that, which is very, they say it's very un-African for you to go on and on. Didn't they bring up things like that?
You know what? It could be as un-African as they are. I'm not an African. I was first a human being before being African. You see, with the way things have played out, the hypocrisy, the religious bigotry, the lies we tell ourselves, they tell you when you have, like when Daniel's son was born, this is them coming back. I rejected and rebuked it because I don't believe in reincarnation. And I'll tell you the reason why I don't. I couldn't have invested all my love and time and money in the child that I love, and you tell me it's come back as somebody else empty-handed, not having paid the bill that he owed. They wouldn't even mess with me like that. That's the way I think. So, Hayden came to this life to live his own life. He's no Babatunde. He's nobody's Babatunde. David has lived his life. Okay? He's gone. I hold on to him, I mourn him, I celebrate him. But I'm not going to interject both lives. They're different. So any Baba that has come and gone is gone. Any Mama that has come and gone is gone. I don't want anybody living anybody's life. Everybody should come and live the life God has blessed them to live. It will be unfair to put Kaden in the familiar spirit bondage of what David was. And that is no pun intended. He lived his life. He rightly lived it. So I want to remember him for who he was to me. I will not transfer that to Caden. Caden has a right to live his own life.
Well, I mean, this is I would like to put it, this is actually being, well, I'll use the word, this is actually being real. Because you see, like, one thing that people don't understand, and which is one of the things I've noticed that you've talked about, is the fact that there's no healing time. And there's no healing process. Some people can choose to be moved. Some people can choose.
When we go through in Nigeria and in Africa, and as Africans, really, is first healing process. First. That's why you can go to a marketplace and you just bump into somebody. The next thing is people are fighting and stabbing each other to death over what? Somebody that calls you auntie and respects you, all you need to do is take the wrong step and they pull you down and tear you to pieces. Because we're storing a lot of anger, a lot of wounds that we don't even believe that we are carrying from the time when you're young. Every time you try to revisit it, which you need to do in order to heal or at least move forward, people accuse you of not letting bygones be bygones. No.
Oh, they shut you down.
I can't let bygones be bygones. Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Look, I have found out, Lola, that the way, especially Nigerian African countries are structured, is by no mistake. Men make a lot of laws that they don't care about. They didn't carry children, they still don't. So they are the ones that are heading a lot of the pinnacles in Nigeria, and they stylishly, indirectly subdue the voices of the women. Another thing I've learned is that when you have your own financial freedom, you can determine and dictate at what pace you heal. If I was just a woman male that is a wife, what they would have done is maybe locked me up in a cage, tell me or delay or certain cultural obligations I needed to fulfill. It's all to create fear in the heart of the woman. And the community life we live in Nigeria is that of subservientship. It is like a cult-like, non-spoken, conspiratorial heart. And that shouldn't be. If we're truly free, even Christians are not free because they are in a vice-like relationship with the pastors and the church members. They cannot be free. When you say you're free, freedom is not so you could be lascivious or reckless. Freedom is coming into the truth of what the value of your life truly means. Before God, and as a responsibility to yourself, the impact that you are able to burst into the life of another. Just being able to breathe, Lola, is a wealth of privilege. It is when we get to that place, then we start to look for every other thing. See, things are attachments. The justification that I feel and the boldness I feel to take the healing walk is because when David asked me for $10, I gave him $20. I lived my life for my son. I loved him and he knew it. Even when we had difficulties and fights, I was doing that from the love I felt for him, not out of selfishness. There was never a time I compromised my status and position as a mother. I didn't put any man ahead of them, and I still don't with Daniel. It's been 10 whole years I ever had a drink or dated anybody with anything. I just dedicate my whole life to their success. Because when you start to date now, the man will tell you, why are you taking care of women? And the truth is, it doesn't matter what degrees you give your children. You still have to be there to support them mentally. Yes. And since God pays my bills, and he has given me the grace to be able to subdue the sexual passions that I feel, not even in this age where they're hiding cameras in wardrobe. How would you feel to see your friend naked on Instagram? So, I mean, it's just, If it's a lot of things happening at once, but you can't do it all at once. I work, I like to write, I know those things that matter to me and the passions that I want to. Music saved our lives. Music, because that's what Daniel turned into. When I got the announcement that David died, Lola, I thought I was going to lose two sons. It happens here. They start to go to the not that I say it's not a good thing. They go for therapy. They start to pack pills on them. The boy starts to take drugs. You know, he becomes depressed and you have to take him from one psychiatric hospital to another. But that didn't happen. Love led us through to healing. So the fact that Daniel is doing well and is balanced, has his own mind, is enough for me to look at and know that that wasn't God's plan. See, God didn't kill my son. The devil killed my son. The devil's people and handiwork killed my son. So don't tell me God gave and God took. No. God might have allowed, but God did not take my son because he knows how much I loved my son. So don't they throw all this nonsense by biblical out of context thing at you. I tell them to stop. Stop, because that will make me doubt who God is in all of his power and ramifications. In order for me to continue to trust him the way that I do and love him the way that I do and balance my secular life with my spiritual, I needed to be truthful to myself. I did that. God gave me the grace to do that by myself. I didn't need the help.
Shipping something. Yeah. That's the question I know people are wanting to ask. And that is the question. I mean, after, I mean, we've asked the question, I mean, which you've answered beautifully well, that the environment doesn't matter. Is what it is, is what it is.
No, the environment doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah.
The environment doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? Because we oftentimes cannot predict where we're going to be when things happen to us.
Exactly. Now, so being a Nigerian in America, can you tell me what was the would I call it the reach out? What was the reach out? Because I mean now
my God.
What was the diaspora
effect
for you?
Diaspora people are wonderful, Lola. Okay. I have to truly be honest with you. Now, I'm part of the Echo Club. The Echo Club members were there. The ladies stayed over. First, my sister took me to school. I was at my sister's place for almost 3 months because for the first 60 days, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where I was. I didn't see the people. I was just... My mind was blank. I didn't care if I paid my bills. I didn't care if the house burnt down. I didn't care what was going on. I just was numb. It was my sister taking me by my hands. I was so blessed that she was in the same city as me, taking me, feeding me, giving me a bath, taking charge of my life. You know, meeting up with Daniel on how to pay the bills to make sure we don't lose our house and our car. Yeah, she took over. She took over. And Methodist Girls High School, my high school student, our student association, Yabo Fisher. I mean, these people were just, oh my God, they blew my mind. My co-workers at Select, my co-workers at Kindred, I mean, the whole of Houston, when we did the funeral service for David, people came from London to Canada. I myself was so astounded that a little boy like that could die. There was a particular man that was Spanish that brought his 7-year-old to translate into English his gratitude for David. He had done so much, reached out to, he was bigger than the David that I saw and knew. But diaspora, I'm telling you, now if you are hungry, diaspora may not feed you, but when you lose a dead one, diaspora will turn up for you.
I know,
it was...
I feel you, I mean, Your episode has been such a wonder for me because, I mean, we could go on and on and on. But unfortunately, I mean, they say when good things are happening, time does fly. We're actually running out of time. We really have to go. But again, like I say, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for coming on.
It's been a pleasure for me to be able to share my life and mention my son, David Oshodi Alago. I was born in 1988 and murdered on November 13th, 2013. November 11th, 2013. Yeah. So it lives on in our hearts. Thank you for having me. I really, truly appreciate being a guest on your room talk with
your
life.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
I go be your superwoman. You go carry me go the other way. Money day or money no day, I go still there for you. I go still there for you.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.